There was a man who had a construction job, who helped build houses and even a few churches in his community. He was a quiet man. His words were direct and short, but he was also a hard worker, focused on the job. His days were long, sometimes exhausting. And while he enjoyed the work, was grateful for it, he was always excited to be going home to his wife and to his kids. And when his kids saw him pull in the driveway, they would run out to see him. The littlest one would run and hug him right around the knees. This man, being a quiet man, took to quiet tasks after dinner. He'd long ago built a woodshed in his backyard, and that's where he would go to absorb silence. It's also where he built wooden trucks and little wooden tractors for his kids. One night, his oldest daughter followed him quietly out to the shed. She didn't say a thing. He didn't say a thing. But he felt her presence, her gentle presence, watching him, observing. And he smiled. He took the latest toy that he'd been working on off the shelf, examined it in his hands. He noticed the grain in the wood, and he felt the roughness of it. And then, after he sighed, a relaxed sigh, he began to make measurements for the next step. His daughter quietly observed all this. She noticed how meticulous he was, how he would slow down and notice the details of his work. And she kept following her father out to the shed night after night, both of them always quiet. Then one night, the silence broke. "Do you want to make part of this one?" he said. She was quiet, but smiled and nodded. "Yeah." She took his place at the bench, and then she took the tractor that they were working on into her hands. She noticed the grain in the wood. She felt the roughness of it. And then she smiled as she began to measure the piece for the top of the cab. Her measurements were slow and exact, double-checked. And then she slowly cut what was needed. She put it on top, and it was perfect. Her father broke the silence again. "How'd you get so good at this, Sarah?" She said, "I've been watching you, Dad. I've been watching. I've been watching. We've been watching." And the disciples had been watching Jesus, observing how he would slow down and notice the people who would come to him. And then he would measure out whatever they needed. The disciples watched this and kept company with this. And then they heard him say, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he might send more laborers, workers into the harvest. The world needs to fill with more compassion and mercy. We need more workers." So these disciples had watched Jesus, watched how he would be compassionate and receive those who would come to him. And then they heard his calling. They heard how he chose them and sent them into the nearby world to imitate what they had seen. Now their task that Jesus gave was twofold. First, proclaim the kingdom of heaven wherever you go and along the way there. The second task was that they should perform works that illustrate what the kingdom of heaven is and that it has arrived. Now the concept of the kingdom of heaven is one that has been confusing and sometimes misunderstood. Some have wrongly said that it's a political thing that's going to take root maybe somewhere in the modern-day Israel, and then from there, it's going to assume all the world into its political grasp. Others have said that it is only in the heavens, only up there, not here, but there. The kingdom is better and bigger than these. The kingdom of heaven is present wherever God is reigning, wherever the will of God, which is mercy and compassion, is being done and being received and being shared. That is where you will find the kingdom of heaven. So when you and I gather here and we share and receive mercy and forgiveness, we interact with the kingdom of heaven. And when you and I are sent into the world around us to do works of mercy and compassion, we proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is reigning even in those places. And so as we travel, what kind of work should we do to illustrate that the kingdom of heaven is present? Those first apostles were given very specific things to do. Their list was heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, expel demons, and raise the dead to life. Now these were very specific signs that something new obviously was happening. The people who were receiving these signs were being released from the bonds that held them. They were once shunned or not even alive and were now given something new, a new mode of existence, a life experiencing mercy and filled with it rather than bondage. So our tasks might not be the same as theirs, might not be as intense. It may so happen, but more likely our work will be smaller, yet it will retain the same essence of mercy. And our work will begin just like it did for the apostles, by the reception of God's mercy for you, for me. We will continually receive this gift of God's mercy and forgiveness, and we will be filled with the love and the words of God. See, it's Jesus' mercy that defines us, gives you and me our identity. Our identity as children of God, and as children of God, we then observe. We watch. What is God doing? What has God accomplished? So we watch Jesus. What does he do? How does he do it? And then we imitate as we are sent. We imitate what we have seen. Now this work is going to occur in our everyday lives, this work of proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. It's something that will happen in your homes, in your workplaces, in your friendships, wherever your vocations take you. So you need no special calling. You need no special degree. We simply go. We go and we share what we have received. And yet I know that this is intimidating for many of us. Sometimes we don't know what to say or what to do. And we know that while the gift of Jesus and his mercy is always free to receive, to share it, to express it, sometimes comes at a cost to the one who shares. Some will reject the word of mercy. And for those who share it, you'll feel the rejection. Others will be convinced that the world cannot run on mercy. It has to run on vengeance or violence. So when we, the people of God who are filled with God's mercy are sent. We go. We proclaim with what we say, with what we do. And we will meet people who resonate with the message, who have longed for this word of mercy. So go, be sent. Be sent. And as you go, may you be filled with peace that cannot be destroyed or taken apart. And may you brush shoulders with people of peace, people who are so hungry for mercy, for forgiveness, who need it and need you to speak it or to show it. So as you go, may you travel lightly. This is the Spirit's work through you, after all. Don't worry about it. He'll carry you along. He'll carry you and fill the world around you with everlasting.